Hi, I'm Weldon.
And I'm Kendall.
We are
Geeks About Gaming.
Hi, you guys. Welcome to another episode of the Geeks About Gaming podcast. I'm Weldon.
And I'm Kendall. You guys don't want to miss this episode. This week, we're talking about all the new things coming to different shows and games, and also what's leaving us, unfortunately. Let's get to it. Weldon, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I've been playing this week. Well, since we are in the mid of October, as far as this recording goes, October is officially upon us. It's Halloween season and stuff like that. So we've been playing, I started Resident Evil 7, which, was on Game Pass. It was one of those games, Kendall, where I remember when it was coming out and everybody and their mom was playing on stream, and I saw the first, probably at least the first third of the game, 10,000 times on stream, and I'm like, I've seen this too much, maybe down the road, I'll give it a shot. I finally did. I finished it. I played not all the DLC, but the Chris Redfield one, which is probably, I guess, the most important one out of all DLC, and it was free. And now I'm called up, ready for Resident Evil 8 Village. I had fun with it. It was good. It was, like, scary in the beginning, and then it got more Resident Evil-y later on, but I was fine with that. I had a good time with it. Kendall, where have you been playing?
Just a shit ton of Phasmophobia. That's all I've been playing, is all the Phasmophobia. I've been playing it with different people. I've been trying different techniques. I've been more brave lately, which I think is really cool of me. Like, I feel like everyone's like, who's going to go in? Because the ghost likes people being alone. And I'm like, give me the camera. I'll go in. I'm just like not really scared of it anymore. You know, when I first started playing it, I like couldn't sleep. I had weird dreams, but now I'm just like, clap my cheeks, James Jones. James Jones.
And I'm sure that was an actual name. Like, you're not making that
up. 100%. All these names are so generic. Like, and if your name out there is James Jones, I'm so sorry. You have a generic name.
Yeah. We were talking about off the podcast, like, for some reason it messes me up when I try to stream it. So I've only played it like only a couple times, and then really only like with you guys. And I remember it's what, you know, I did get upset by it, and then because y'all threw me in there and nobody explained anything. But I guess that's
I'm so sorry.
That's how it works, I guess. But there was one time though that it got me, and I was like, oh crap, there it was, and I died once or twice, and it was right there, and that was it.
I know, like, honestly, it was like Joe who was like, don't teach him anything.
And I'm like, all right, if you don't want me to help or yell, that's what
I
you
know. But, I was like, Joey, oh,
gosh. But, and then I got locked in, and I got killed at the front door and then the garage. Because I knew where it was at, though. That was me, my own fault, though, because I was like, I know where you're at, and I'm going to try to, like, keep an eye on this thing, and then it got me from behind. But yeah, there was a lot of scary, you know, I don't play scary games too often, just only once in a blue moon, usually just because half of them out there requires you to wear either a certain part of it or most of it, you have to, like, sit there and hide. That's why I never like playing Alien Isolation. I'll watch somebody play. I don't want to sit and hide. I want to be able to fight back, or, you know, puzzle solve and fight back. Or if I have to hide, it's for like a sequence. Like Resident Evil 7 wasn't too bad, right? Because it was like a little beginning and then stop. But I played like a few in the past. Like, Kendall, do you think, is there like a, like, scary games that like have stuck with you, or is there like that one scary game you play where like this was the scariest thing I ever experienced?
You know what, I wouldn't say I played a game that's like, this is such a good scary, oh, you know what, just kidding, there's one game I wouldn't really call it a scary horror game, it's more like a psychological type game, and it was Doki Doki Literature Club. And like, have you played? Yes. Okay, so that whole game, I think it got me. It really stuck with me because when people told me to play it, they told me not to look it up, not to do anything. Don't look at reviews, don't read descriptions, just buy it and play it. Download it, play it. Which I did. And for the first like 3 hours, it was, you know, a dating sim. And I was like, why do people not want me to read a description or read anything about this game? I'm just trying to pick the girl I want to date. And then it got scary and it got weird. And then it started like being a little bit horror. And I was like, what is happening? People are killing themselves. Like, oh my God. And then I realized the full potential of the game. And honestly, that's like one of my top games. It's so good.
I've never played, again, those games aren't usually my kind of games. I've never played it, but I know a lot of people liked it that have played it.
Yeah, I think it was so well done, and it made you go into your own actual computer files, which was fantastic. Like, what other game makes you do that? Like, it like immerses you. Immerses. It literally, you're in, it makes you be a character in the game. And I think that was one of the best, like, I guess, quote, horror game I've played.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, that, it's always the ones that stick with you where it's like, it like throws you off for a loop. I mean, some of the best ones that I played, you know, you want to talk about, you know, like Resident Evil 4. I haven't played Evil Within 2, but I really like the first one. Although you kind of have to play that one a little bit on the easier for me because it's a little harder. But I never finished it, but I've given it a second go. Third person stuff like that. I mean, some of the ones I can think of off the top of my head. Again, games I never finished. And at the in hindsight, probably playing them now wouldn't be as scary, but at the time, like Photo Frame, where it's there was two of them, I think, maybe three. There might have been a third one, but it was Photo Frame. They were on the PlayStation 2. The second one's called Crimson Butterfly, but it's basically you run around. It was basically Pokemon Snap, except you're taking photos of ghosts, and you're in this like ancient Japanese like village, and then somebody died or whatever, and you had to go around, and the only way you could fight the ghosts was by taking photos at them. But they would just like go and randomly appear, and you were by yourself in this mansion, and it was really creepy. And then probably, and I'm sure there's others I'm missing, but the one that sticks out to me the most, and I don't remember the experience of it, but I just remember the feeling it gave me. And it was a game that I rented. It was also PlayStation 2, but it was on like Xbox and other stuff. And this one I barely like got partway through into it, but for some reason I couldn't tell you why. It was The Suffering.
The Suffering.
The Suffering. There was two games. I never played the second one, but it was it would flip between first person and third person, and it was like an action horror game. But for some reason, just the beginning of it, it's like, I think you were like in a prison or something like that. But just the feeling of it and the way the creatures were designed and stuff, just kind of, again, I can't remember. Like, I'm looking at screenshots and I vaguely remember from screenshots, but just the feeling of just dread, something about it just got me. I don't know what it was that it just scared me. Now, again, hindsight, you might play this and be like, this is silly. Why is it scary? But I don't know why. It just got me. So I would say that's up there. And there's two of them. If you go find them, I think they're on, at least one's on GOG, I think. It's worth checking out. I'm going to have to go back and check it out. But man, those were, and it's weird because it's third person again, but it's just, I don't know, something about it, just like in a prison trapped with all these creatures. And I guess the feeling of just like, you can't get out. It's not like Silent Hill where you're exploring a whole town or something like that. It's like you're in one place for most of the game. And it's just, man, that was the one. That was the one for me. So yeah, but a lot of horror stuff going on, but Kendall, there's a lot of horror stuff not going on. There is actual gaming news that's been going on, not related to horror, but a lot of popular stuff. Very, a lot of Multiplayer online fan favorite games have things going on with them. Kendall, what's going on?
Fall Guys Season 2 is finally out. We saw a lot of trailers and a lot of leaks about it, but now it's finally out. You can play it. Season 2 is Middle Ages themed, and it's actually quite fun. I played a little bit myself. We have new levels, new costumes, a new nameplate, which is kind of cool. Like, they made these, I don't even know how to describe this nameplate. Just like, under your name is your name, and also you can put like a little like display of what your nickname, like your, what you want your nickname to be, but you can't type it in yourself. You have to like choose or buy them in the store. So there's like Big Yeeted or Cool Bean, Sir Hugs a Lot, I don't know. Yeah, there's just like, it's like banners and stuff, and I think it's pretty fun. I don't know why we needed that. It's a little extra, but I think it's fun. But also, in the beginning, in the lobby, you can actually choose if you don't want to play team games, which I think is fantastic, because the number one complaint of Season 1 was that team games suck because you can't trust your own team. So how can you buy, how can you make it to a crown if you can't even get past team games? Especially since you can't talk to anyone, you know?
Yeah, no, that sounds good to me. I'm not a team player when it comes to games all that often. So wait, so you said, okay, so let me get this straight. So for the name, so did they bring names back, and then this is their way of like kind of filtering it so people don't be stupid on it again?
That's kind of like the thing. So on PC, we still don't have our own usernames. We're still like player 92111 or something like that, you know? But right underneath your numbers is just a cute nickname that the game gives you as, like, I guess a way to, like, whatever.
So, yeah. But is that only, since that was, issue was, wasn't with the PlayStation, since you could still use your name, I wonder if that feature is also part of that anyway, or they don't have that because it's kind of redundant, I wonder.
Yeah, I wonder too. They probably still have that for PlayStation players because they probably might complain that they don't get this cool feature of having a nickname. But like, if you don't purchase anything from the store, you're going to be Rookie the entire time. Because without a nickname, you're just going to straight up stay as Rookie.
Oh, and we know how title gamers are. That's not going to last with a lot of people. They're not going to take that in stride. Oh, wow. Yeah, again, it's just, it was an interesting choice to say, but how's like the new levels though, Kendall? What's the levels? Like the actual change, like how the levels go?
Oh my gosh. It's so fun. Honestly, I'm like super into these levels. So we have like three new levels. One of them is just scaling walls, and they're moving platforms where you have to push closer to the platforms, and each platform is like of various levels, and you have to push them towards the walls, and then other people can push away the platform you're about to jump onto or you're about to jump off of, and like that will sabotage you, and like, oh man. So it's really fun. You have to get used to the hang of it. There's also this crazy chaotic level where it's basically get from point A to point B like everything else, but they're like swinging axes and like logs with spikes on them, and then there's like a giant log with a spike on it that will literally just sway back and forth, and if you're not fast enough, you will get killed. It will knock you off the map, and at the very end there are drawbridges that you have to time, and it's such a chaotic level. I don't know how it got past testing because it's so crazy. And then they also brought back a new map for the rings, where you jump through rings and, you know, you have to do like as a team game where you have to get the most rings ever out of everybody else. But they turned it into an individual challenge. So basically, you have to get 6 rings faster than everybody else. And there are also golden rings that get you 5 rings total. So you only need one, you know, minor ring, and that's how you get past that level. But everyone is trying to go for the same rings, and there are also moving platforms on that one where people can push and shove these platforms so you just miss the ring slightly. It's so much more fun, honestly, and it's more colorful. I love it.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear that you're it's a good thing. There's nothing about it where you're like, I wish they didn't do that or something. Is there anything where you're like, I hope they improve this on season 3 or you're good?
Not so far. I think for me, my only complaint though was when I did start up season 2, I kept getting all the old maps, all the old stages, and I was like, I don't want to play these old ones. I want to play the new ones. Like, is there a way I could just like skip these and play new ones? Or I kept having to back out or die first just so I could get out of that to like try new stages or something. I like they need like a feature where if you want to try a new stage, like, you know, boom, here it is. Or like the algorithm needs to change to where like first timers on season 2 get to play new stages or something.
Oh, interesting. So it's kind of just mixes in and you don't know. Oh, that's interesting. What about the costumes?
Oh, they're so cute. It's literally all like medieval themed. Not medieval. Yeah, I guess kind of medieval, middle ages themed. Like there's like, it's kind of silly. Like they have like knight costumes and wizard outfits, and I don't know, it's so silly for sure.
Well, didn't they too announce like that they're adding a Sonic costume?
Yes, well, they are adding a Sonic costume, and it's everyone is not into it.
That's great.
Yeah, if you look it up, they're just like, it's disrespectful, it doesn't look good, it's chunky, he looks fat. It's honestly because they're beans. You know what I mean? Sonic is a thin character, and they're just like, they made Sonic look fat.
Yeah, I mean, what'd you think? They're not gonna change the structure of the
of a bean. I know, right? Like they're I think that's the funniest part though. They're like, how dare he make him chunky? Listen, these beans are literal beans, okay? They're not gonna change it up just for your precious Sonic.
Yeah, it's because again, entitled gamers being entitled, just because they changed in the movie, which to be fair was a smarter move, doesn't necessarily mean that you can get away with their and you're not gonna listen to you all the time, right? I haven't played that in like a month or so. And speaking also of games I haven't played in a few months, which I kinda wanna get back into it, but I don't know who's playing or who's not anymore. Valorant has got some new stuff coming out, a new chapter, act, new character, new map. Kendall, what's happening over there?
Oh my god, I just played it yesterday after like a month or something. I'm so bad at it. And the only reason I picked it up again was because they're coming out with a new character and a new map. Okay, let me tell you. Right now, you can play the new map. It's called Icebox. It's like a frozen tundra type map. And there are so many zip lines everywhere. There are zip lines everywhere. And they have like two different zones. Zone A, Zone B. Zone A looks so chaotic. There are so many angles, so many levels on A. It's kind of insane. Like, I don't know if anyone's actually going to go to A to plant at all, because like it doesn't seem like you're covered anywhere. But then on the other side, on B, huge space, like there's only a few angles that they can catch you at. But honestly, it looks really good, it looks really fun. It's just one side is vastly different than the other side. I don't know how we're gonna see that in team comps, but it's fun to look at. Then we have a new agent. She's awesome. She's a healer, and she has all these abilities that everybody else has all in one character. Her name is Syke, and let me tell you, Wilden, let me tell you, she makes Sage even more useless. I swear to God, Sage is no longer needed, because Syke can heal all her teammates if they're in her radius up to full so fast. Like, she heals everyone so fast and everyone at the same time. Like, what is Sage made for? No, Sage is useless.
That's why I keep, I mean, that's what I heard was the classic Sage meme. That's the meme of Valorant. It's Sage becoming more and more useless as time goes by, right?
Yeah, especially with this new character. So she also has Trailblazer, which is basically she herself turns into a tiger. Her character stays still, but then you can control her tiger that like leaps out of her body and then run towards an opponent. If it hits opponent, it concusses them, but you can also shoot away the tiger if you want. Then she also has another one, which is basically a hawk. She's very nature-based. She has a hawk where she also turns into, and she stands nowhere, you know, wherever she wants. And then that blinds them. You could also shoot that down. And then she has the healing ability. Like I told you, she heals all abilities in range to full, kind of insane. And then her ult are seekers. Seekers, she has three of them. They go out at the same time and they seek out any enemy that they see, and then you see where they are immediately. It's kind of like everyone's abilities all combined.
Man,
cool. Yeah.
Man, and is this character available too, or is that coming later?
Her character is not available until October 27th.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So there's still some time. All right, but the new map is out, so you can download that. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought about it. I was like, I kept thinking about here and there. I wouldn't mind getting back into Valorant again, but it's like, with games like that, if you don't constantly keep up with it, like how you feel, and then it's always when there's a new character, how many people are going to whine and complain about the new character, and then that they're overpowered and all this stuff, and, you know, you had Killjoy, and you know, so I'd be curious to see it. But I like the look of this new character. She looks cool. I like the tiger thing. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, it is pretty fun, except all her abilities you can shoot down, so that's what people are saying makes her balanced. But also a lot of people are just saying she's OP in general because she can heal everyone. And she has all the distractions. She has concussed, she has blind, and she can seek you out. It's kind of insane.
I wonder the Reynas, those Reynas that drive us nuts. I wonder how they're going to go against that.
Yeah, this one might just drive you nuts. Imagine if she does all her abilities on one person or something. Like, that person's going to hate Psyche so much.
Yep, those tryhards are going to really be upset.
Yeah.
I'll see who's around playing. I wouldn't mind hop back into it. But again, I feel weird hopping back into it, but I might at least update it. I know this still has a deathmatch thing and all that.
Let's play it later. We'll play it. It's fun.
Okay. All right, cool.
I swear.
All right. If you say so. That sounds good. Valorant. It's all these seasons, you know, with doing Among Us and then not continuing, you know, just updating their thing. That's these multiplayer games, you know, are still going, and it seemed like the Valorant hype died down a bit, but it's still, I don't know. And then Overwatch was free. I still haven't played that. I got the free copy thing of it though, and then, you know, and all those people were like, oh, but Overwatch 2 is coming, so why even bother? You know, and things like that, but. You know, those things are always still around and happening. To go off, though, to a different side of things, Kendall, some things. So, we were talking about horror earlier, right? And I mentioned Silent Hill. Well, Silent Hill. Silent Hill had several games in the franchise, and... as time got by, some of them were not as good as the previous one, stuff like that. But there was one called Shattered Memories, which I believe, if I remember right, was sort of like a reimagining of the first one. I remember watching documentary series about the thing, and like it was like, it's kind of what happened or whatever. But anyway, Sam Barlow worked on it, and if you know Sam Barlow, he created... one of the games I really like, Her Story and Telling What Lies, which I still haven't played yet. And that's the ones that are famous for, like, having actual actors in them, and you watch, like, tapes and stuff like that by typing in words and trying to figure out what happened and things like that. But he was one of the designers of the game. And so he mentioned that he's has the idea of wanting to do a spiritual successor to that game in particular. Now, he can't use, like, the Silent Hill name and things like that, but in the spirit of it, he wants to make a spiritual successor to it. And it's interesting because, you know, like, it was a little bit different than other Silent Hill games and things like that. But I, you know, I wonder how it's continue. You know, it's one of the things where some people really like it and some people are like, ah, it's okay. But it's just interesting that out of the, with all this talk of, oh, there might be two Silent Hill games, or Kojima might still be doing, or Konami's doing, or, you know, back and forth. Then all of a sudden, you know, he's come in and he's like, I'm going to sort of do one. You know, just the timing of that's very interesting. Have you played a lot, any of Silent Hill stuff?
I haven't at all. That's just, like, not a game I don't think I can get into and like, honestly.
It's weird because it's one of those things where it's like, unlike Resident Evil, where there's some better than others, but, you know, they're consistent at least. It's weird that there'd be a certain, like, oh, this Silent Hill game may suck, but it has one of the best boss fights, or this one is better, but doesn't have good cutscenes or something. Like, there's, you know, and I played a little bit when they had, like, the 2-pack back in the day of, like, the 1 and 2, like, HD release, I played a little bit of that. But, yeah, same. I was always more, like, Silent Hill is a little less action-oriented and more of the psychological stuff, but, like, you know, you would use weapons when you had to kind of thing. I don't know if I would give a shot now, and it's, again, it's been a while since we've had a new Silent Hill game. I think the last one was, like, on the Wii U or the Wii or something like that.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, so even, I don't know if I would play this one, but, like, if they've are coming out with new Silent Hills, whether there's 2 or 1 or whatever, I think I'd be willing to give it a shot at least and try it out. And I'm like, all right, let me give this franchise another chance because I never got all that much into it either myself. But yeah, so that's going to be coming. And again, it's, you know, for a person that's worked with the actors in his last couple games that has a certain style to it, that fact he's like, you know what? I'm going to take a break from that, go back to what I started with, third person action, you know, action, well, not action, but, like, third person, like, game with, like, characters and stuff, NPCs and all that. Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. Also, talk about Microsoft a little bit here. So, a couple things with Microsoft. One, which, and this sucks, this is more, like, depending on who you are, how much this matters or not. Me, right? I don't have new Xbox. I'm not playing on new Xbox, but I have Game Pass, right? And as a person who's been, like, revisiting the Halo series, you know, Halo Infinite and all that coming out, I've been replaying through the Master Chief Collection on PC. Now, they have all the games and stuff for the Xbox already, but PC are catching up, and they added Halo 4, which I never played. I Halo Reach was the last one I played, so I never played 4 or 5. And so, you know, I was thinking, like, oh, they have 4, then hopefully down the road they'll have 5 or something. But they officially confirmed that they're not bringing Halo 5 to the Master Chief Collection. And all I can hope is that they will release Halo 5 as its own separate thing. They haven't said one way or the other. But the completionist in me wanted to catch up on the story. I know Halo 5 isn't regarded as one of the best in the franchise, right? It's not looked well upon, but I still want to know story-wise what the hell's going on, and, like, if they never release it separately, to have that missing piece, especially the last one that connects, is going to bother me. And I know there are some people that are kind of upset about it, because, you know, people are like, oh, but it has this, but it's, like, on PC, though. We don't have Halo 5 on PC, even though you can get Halo 5 on Xbox as a separate thing. You can't get it on PC as of right now. So I don't know. It's annoying, and it's bothering me about it. And it's just something I just hope they do that. You know, they find a way of bringing back separately, but we don't know. Otherwise, I'm just going to go into I mean, I guess I could watch a playthrough of Halo 5, worst case scenario. But it's gonna bother me. But Kindle, I'm just waiting. All I'm waiting for is 4 to come out. Then once 4 comes out, I can play it and get that 70 gigs off my hard drive. Or probably 80 gigs or however many gigs is now. Because you can't like just delete the thing off there. You have to keep it on. You can't like add one game at a time. Or if there's a way to do it, it's like really a pain in the ass. But yeah, again, like you were into like the Halo stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. For so sure. Did you, way back in the day.
So okay. So have you? I can't remember. Did you play 4 or 5?
Yeah. No. At the same time, it's like one of those games where I picked up and never finished.
Hmm.
You know.
Hmm. Okay. But yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's. I then I just thought about me. But Microsoft. Okay. So but we did talk about prior Kindle. We did talk about the in the past episodes about, you know, this whole thing, right? This whole thing between Apple and Epic and what's on their store and stuff. And they were talking about how, you know, Microsoft, you know, they have Game Pass and all that through, you know, Android's fine. But for the iPhone, you know, how I mentioned we have to do a thing. You have to download it and download this thing and all that stuff. Well, despite all that going on, Microsoft still is apparently finding a way to bring xCloud and Game Pass and all that to the iOS. And they're saying that they're going to do it via a direct browser-based solution. So, but they're, Phil Spencer's very confident. This is, according to IGN, Adam Bankhurst, who quoted The Verge, Phil Spencer said they had a hands-on meeting and that they'll absolutely end up on iOS, they'll end up on phones and iPads with Game Pass. So they want that. And people are saying because, like, you know, the whole Amazon Alexa or Alexa Luna thing, that, you know, that was a rumor that maybe, like, that they might partner with them as a way to do that. Because, again, that is like cloud-based thing that exists. So I don't know, Kendall, like, I don't know. So, I mean, now they're saying, like, oh, they are going to find a way. So, like, is this going to actually happen, even though he's saying it's going to happen? How do you think they're going to make this work?
That's such a good question. Like, we all know that they're trying to do a lot of new up-and-coming things, and this would be a good step. This would be the smart next step for sure. It's just, it's a matter of like, can we trust them? Do they have the money to do any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, and well, if we know anything from Bethesda acquisition, Microsoft's got money. That's exactly what I want to bring up.
They just spent billions of dollars. Do they have the money to continue on with this project?
Well, I think so, and I'll tell you why. Because we've been having this discussion of how, you know, their main focus right now seems to be, I mean, they've given out consoles early to people to try out, and some people have them already and things like that. But it seems their primary focus, right, is this Game Pass thing. Like, that seems to be now their core business. So I would think anything related to that and their, and you know, the xCloud, in equal terms with that, I kind of associate that together. I would think that, like, if they're gonna have money allocated something, they will make sure they have the money to make that work, I think. Because that's their primary focus. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It just depends on Apple, you know, and how they're working with things. And I don't know if how this, like, case is going to go, is going to affect anything or not. But hey, you know, again, though, it follows Microsoft's things. They want to get it everywhere possible they can get it on. You know, that's, they're sticking to their guns and they're really trying, you know. But yeah, so it's going to be curious to see how that goes out. And once we have an answer, we'll be sure to talk about it on later episodes of the podcast. One last thing, Kendall, that I want to throw in there. One last thing, which is, and you know what, Kendall, we got to give you props here, because I know it was like maybe like 2 or 3 episodes ago you said it, and you totally called it about Amazon and games, right? We talked about this. I remember saying of how Amazon doesn't seem to know what they're be doing as far as, like, making their own games go. They seem a little wonky. Well, I mean, your point's being further, you know, backed up and proven here, Kendall. So, Crucible, right? Was this big, like, MMO thing they were building up. I remember AE3, they were talking about it and things like that. It was one of those things where they had beta tested it, like, previously, and then they heard bad stuff about it, and they were like, oh, okay, well, you know what, we'll rework on it. Then they kind of relaunch it again. They were talking about, okay, we're back, we're doing it. It was in development since 2016. It was supposed to be the next big battle royale sort of thing. Then, after talking about it again, they released it again, and like a sort of beta thing for people to try. And it didn't seem to go well again. They released it, and then 5 months after its release, it mysteriously disappeared off the market, and they have officially killed Crucible. They're not updating it or anything like that. They had a thing where if you pre-purchase a game, you can participate in this big beta, and then the beta came out and people were playing it, and I guess the reaction wasn't much better than it was the first time, and then Amazon's like, you know what? We're just gonna kill it, or whatever. New World, which is supposed to be their big MMO, is still in effect. That's still happening. But, I mean, Crucible, I think I played it once for, like, a second or whatever. It says that in-game purchases, you'll be able to still play it till November 9th, and then it'll die. But, yeah, Crucible, I remember playing it, and I think it was, like, a free game or whatever you can download and play. But I remember playing for a second, and I was like, ah, it's okay. It's fine. It didn't catch on. It's kind of like, I hate putting a bad example of this, but like, it was kind of like the Hyperscape effect, where it's like, people talked about it for a second when it came out, then people stopped talking about it.
Mm-hmm. It was like really big when it started, and then all of a sudden it died out of nowhere. Like, yeah, it just died.
Right, but like Ubisoft, at least, apparently, they're like gonna kind of reboot it, and they're still working on it, whereas Amazon's like, you know what, we'll just give up. We're gonna work on New World next, but again, Kendall, you said yourself, like, Amazon, as far as, like, game development goes, Amazon doesn't seem to be fully grasping what they're doing. I mean, they're still working on New World. I mean, how's that going to turn out? I don't know. I mean, how's New World going to turn out? What's the deal with this?
It just seems like Amazon is trying to do their best in getting into every industry they can. Amazon's already pretty successful when it comes to consumer products, and they turn to movies. They're doing fantastic with movies and whatnot. And then they partnered with Twitch, and now Twitch and Amazon is a huge thing, and they've changed Twitch up a lot for us and for us streamers, you know? And then they came out with Crucible, and we had no marketing to be seen for that. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. There's just so much going on with Amazon. They had Crucible. We had nothing. We knew nothing about it. They released it. And then what happened? You know what I mean? And then they changed Twitch up even more recently. And then they came out with Amazon Luna, their own streaming service for games. And then now we hear Crucible is a dead game. Aren't they successful in gaming? Maybe in some key factors, but not in this one. Their game development seems a little off. It does seem like they know that gaming is the future. But also, it's not looking too good. It's not looking too good for Amazon and gaming. They still are trying to prove to us that they can be in the gaming industry, which is questionable. Well, then it's questionable.
Yeah, it makes it seem like, when you think about it, like you brought up Luna, I mean, if it seems like that'll probably do well, but that'll be based on all the other already existing companies working with them, and then as a result that'll do well. But like, if you look at all the sections, like the games that they make on Amazon game is probably gonna have like the least amount of downloads or purchases compared to, let's say, if they work with, like, you know, Ubisoft or, yeah, or, you know, something like that. yeah, I'm curious to see how New World does. But again, is that like the second game they're like, all right, we're just gonna stop it or whatever?
Yeah, I've heard this before. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, but whatever. Unfortunately, things aren't working out for Amazon, and they're really just trying to find their footing in the gaming industry. Will they? We'll see. But for now, we just gotta give them their best. Or what? Yeah.
Yeah. It's but hey, but
give them our best.
Our best. But Kendall, so we talked about games, like actual games, but now for our next portion of the podcast, we're gonna talk about the games industry, things happening in the industry and people and personalities around the industry. Kendall, what is going on in the industry of gaming?
We all know Venn. They started during the quarantine. They're this awesome gaming TV network filled with all types of entertainment, games, music, media, any and all that good stuff. Well, they took a quick 2-week hiatus, and now they're back with an awesome new segment. It's called Locked In. It's basically all your favorite esports developers, streamers, all your gamers up playing games together competitively. And it's more fun than competitive, although they are trying to see who's better than the other person. But honestly, it's a fun segment. It's hosted by Dash and Deegon. We all know and love them from Venn and their other various podcasts and whatnot. But I think for me, I do want to say it's a little weird that they're bringing in a segment just a few months after launching. And it's weird to me that they had to take a 2-week hiatus. Like, I'm not sure if the hiatus was for, but I don't know if this was a segment that they couldn't get produced or greenlit in the very beginning, or maybe they're trying to be new every few months and keep it fresh every few months. Who really knows? I just know they didn't take away any segments. They moved some segments around. It's like with like what time we see them and, you know, when they play. But I don't know. How do you feel about a new segment with Venn? Do you think they needed it, Wilden?
I think it's a mix of a couple things. Part of it, I think it's like part of their original plan, right? Because it is supposed to be for the most part, except certain portions like the weekends or whatever, it's supposed to be like a 24/7 network, right? That was the idea that was pitched. Like, they're supposed to have always new shows and stuff. So it felt like it was inevitable that we're going to try new stuff out and things like that. Now, as far as like when and how, I do think numbers are showing, you know, their numbers have been kind of dipping overall. A couple of theirs are still doing well, but things like the download has dipped down. So they brought in like Emily and Tia now as part of the show, a new segment to try to get more numbers up there, because Venn Arcade's, I think, one of the most more popular ones that people enjoy. And I wonder if this new show does well. Like, I mean, Chrissy's show's still going on, and it got pushed to prime time because people like it. But that's also part of that's involved her playing games with other people. And it's to have two shows that are about playing games with other people. And this new show seems to be doing a kind of a better version of that. I wonder if her show's going to change and turn to something else a little bit. And they use the whole set. Also, it's interesting, too, that they don't have new hosts. They're just reusing the hosts they already have for right now. So it makes me think, again, they're still talking about how they're in kind of a trial zone. And so it seems like their strategy is, let's try these new shows with hosts that we already have, and then eventually bring in new people, which I guess is a smart way to do it, but it's also at the same time, it doesn't show like the super amount of confidence. So I don't know. As far as the 2 weeks go, I mean, I don't know. Again, you can use 2 weeks to like build new sets and stuff, so I guess it's fine. But as far as when they did it, I don't know if they plan to do it sooner or later again. Just, I think they have ideas, but they're playing it by ear.
Yeah, I get you. It does feel like it was part of the original plan, like you said, because it's supposed to be a 24-hour segment, and maybe this one just wasn't launched right away, or they're trying to feel out when would be a good time to launch it. It does make a lot of sense from what you say. You do make a lot of good points. But I'm really excited to see what else they have for us. Like, they're an awesome TV network, and I enjoy their content. I don't know. I think it's cool to have more opportunities for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and who knows how to bring in other people and stuff, and the fact all their shows are still going is good. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, they're doing it the right way, but, you know, again, at the same time, though, it's like, take the advantage before G4 comes back while you got it.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Take advantage. That's a very good point, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. See, what else is going on in the Street Kindle?
Unfortunately, we have some pretty bad news when it comes to the Rooster Teeth family. Rooster Teeth members Ryan Haywood and Adam Kovic, who are the Achievement Hunter and Funhouse host, respectively, are in a bit of a scandal. It's kind of a bad scandal. This is like the bad part of the podcast, Wilden. This is the sad part, the part that a lot of people don't want to hear. There have been leaks of their nudes. And it's not like together. I mean, their nudes have been leaked at the same time. Ryan Haywood has been sending photos to Tessa Graves, and this was back in 2017. And it just started kind of like being exposed because Graves released a YouTube video explaining her side of the story. A lot of people are saying that she was underage at the time, but she herself confirmed that she was 18, so we shouldn't give him any, you know, we shouldn't say anything about him being with underage women because he wasn't. Yes, she is very young, but it was very consensual, and it's not a good look for him, for Ryan Haywood. He has a wife and a child, and they're working through it, and that was just kind of like a one-off thing, and he kind of left, and he's doing his own thing right now. He's trying to figure out life with his family. Adam Kovic, who is the creative director and host of Funhouse, has unfortunately been catfished into sending a lot of explicit photos. Who was pretending to be a porn star. He's been sending these photos and videos to this porn star through a fake Instagram account. And unfortunately, this was something to do against him. Every photo and every video that was sent to this fake porn star has been recorded or video screenshotted or video recorded. It was over 400 pictures and videos combined, including him and his wife. Unfortunately, his wife has now been exposed because of this, and he has been fired from Rooster Teeth. They both came out with statements, but Adam Kovic is saying that he's sorry for what he's done, and he mostly made mistakes towards his wife, and that he's going to try to fix the relationship. So he's going to step away from the internet. He's going to step away from social media. He's going to step away from his career to really work on it. And it's just super unfortunate. Because of this, a lot of people have been leaving Funhouse, leaving Rooster Teeth. A lot of people have been saying things against Adam because they're saying that he's just like not a good person. I don't want to get too much into what these photos and videos are, but they're very inappropriate, and they're also very disrespectful to the Funhouse community, and also disrespectful to the Funhouse employees because of where and what he was doing these explicit acts. I do want to say, though, that we shouldn't be involved in his personal life. It's so unfortunate that this happened to him, and he didn't want, obviously, he didn't want any of this on the internet. This was his personal life, and we should leave him to it. I personally hope that they're both really working out whatever they have to go through with their families, and that they're really just being well, and that they're working on their well-being and their mental health, because we all know what something like this can do to someone's mental state. Yes, what they did might have been morally bad, but like we still have to hope that they have a healthy recovery and that they've learned from what they've done.
Yeah, that's well said. That's really well said. It sucks. I mean, there's people like, you know, like Raul, who's like a pretty known, you know, actor, like from, you know, he's in Black Manor and iZombie. Really cool guy. Seems like really awesome dude. And like, you know, he mentioned things about, you know, he did stuff with them and then he stopped and there was a reason why, you know? I mean, it sucks has happened, and you do feel like for them as a family and all that too, but it's also, again, it's like, you don't want that to ever happen to somebody, but the fact that this is what it took for people to like talk about, oh, you know, this person was always kind of a dick or whatever. And it's like, then how long, you know, would that person have ever gotten that justice? You know, again, it's like the whole thing, the industry. It's like, oh, like this person's a dick, but it's like, they're always going to be part of the industry. And it's like, to say like, no, you're this much of a person that you don't deserve to be here. You should get out for being an asshole or a dick or mistreating people. The fact that it has to go this far for something like this to happen to get that conversation going is, I think, the problem. Whereas it's like, this shouldn't have to happen. If you're a dick or whatever to people, you know, especially it seems that's, you know, people are starting to speak out more and more now, but still, would he have ever, you know, the fact that he's a dick and a jerk and treats people terribly, would he have ever been kicked out if this never have happened? You know,
yeah, maybe not. He was the creative director of Funhouse. That was his. Funhouse is his, and now we don't know what's going to happen with Funhouse, especially since a lot of members have left prior or is currently leaving.
Yeah, and I mean, some, like Alon Pierce, she says she's still sticking with it for now, but I mean, who knows, right? And then I know Kind of Funny was doing stuff with them. They were doing like Conjuring Review thing, and they've since put that on hold and things of that sort. I mean, it sucks, but yeah, and not just like Funhouse, like people are really leaving Rooster Teeth in general, and you know, you've heard stories and things like here and there, but not enough to where it's, you know, warrants anything. But then when stuff like this happens, and then you're like, the stories, little things you heard were true, because, you know, sometimes like, well, people are just saying shit, and then it's like, I guess they weren't. It's, you know, again, it's the whole thing. It's every day, whether like Ubisoft or this or whatever, it's like, so I'm tired of Kendall. I'm tired of all this shit happening, and I'm glad people are finally like getting out of there. And at the cost of something bad happening, but it's like, hey, it's the industry's that messed up right now where it's like, that's how far we have to go to make this happen.
Yep. Yeah, it's just unfortunate. And we kind of just have to let them do their thing and let them handle whatever they have to handle. And we honestly shouldn't pry any more than what they're telling us, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, if, you know, a person's treated a certain way, it's like, yeah, I'm like, sorry that happened to them and all that, but it's hard for me to have a heart for people anymore. I don't care. I don't care how your family or whatever is doing. If it does good, great, but it's like, if you're a dick, I don't care.
Yeah. In the whole, honestly, I feel bad for Adam's wife because that was like a private video between them, obviously, and now just everyone's seen her, you know, like seen her, and I just she never asked for that, and I feel, if anyone, I feel bad for her because no one wants that, especially if that's like a private thing between you and your lover.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if it was intended to be sent out to, you know, things like that, you know, it's just, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And it's also, I just want to say that it's kind of crazy that someone didn't like him so much to the point that they would do all this work to make a fake account to get his trust and to send to get his trust enough to have him send all these photos and videos.
Yeah.
We still don't know who it is. And I don't think we should know. But if we do find out, then that, oh my God, I don't even know.
But then again, at the end of the day, you know, it was his choice to send all that stuff. Again, it shows what kind of person it is. It shows
what
kind
of person, especially it shows what kind of person he is if someone went through all that trouble just to set him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what did he do to that person?
Right. What did he do to that person? And, you know, it's... And the fact then, too, that person then knew that he would probably buy the bait, as silly as it sounds.
Yes.
He's like, this person would do this. And then the fact that they were... It's all really just sad. And just... Again, it's like this whole industry, man. It's like, it pisses me off because it's like, I'm not the best person in the world. I make mistakes and stuff, too. But all these people, I'm not better than any of these people, but I make as many mistakes as these people too, but these people get all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they get all this. I mean,
you can only do all these bad things for so long before you're caught. And like, I don't know if like people believe in fate or destiny or like karma, but like a lot of people are saying that like, this is what Adam deserves, you know?
Right. I mean, that's, I don't know. Maybe I'm a jerk for saying this, but I know people always, not with just this, but in general, always like, you know, eventually one day you'll get your comeuppance, which I get it. But at the end of the day, it's like, why wait till the end of the day? Why wait till then? Why not now? You know, that's the thing I've always had. It's like, well, I'm afraid, or, you know, but it's like, really, it should be now. And it's hard. I get it. It's hard. But that's why I respect. I think, like, I respect people that don't wait and have the guts to do it now and risk everything. You know, that's the people I'm like, you know, it took some guts to do it, but that's somebody that's worth something, to me or whatever. But anyway, But again, as you said, we don't need to pry further into it. It just sucks. It's a shame for everybody involved that they have to leave. And again, it's one little thing stirred up something else. It's, you know... That's just sad, really. Yeah.
I think we should just remember that even though Adam Kovic is a bad person, you should still support Funhouse because he's now no longer Funhouse. What you loved was Funhouse. You know, don't relate Adam to Funhouse now he's away from it. And he's a parted ways. Because if you still love Funhouse content, they could still make the content you love, you know, and like I don't know. He's no longer involved with Funhouse.
Yeah, I mean, Nerdist is an example of that, right? They're still going for, you know, I don't know if they're as well, you know, I forget they're still around, unlike they were back in the day, but they're still going, you know, it can be done. That's a good one. Good point, Kendall. Good point.
All right, let's move on.
Talk about, getting into hot topics there, but let's cool things down a bit by talking about the PlayStation fan and inside of the PlayStation 5, folks. Before we get into that, as an aside, just in case you guys know, they seem to be talking about news related to PlayStation's, like, you know, interface and all that. Stuff hasn't come out about it, but they did mention that they are, as we're moving into this new console generation, they're going to stop selling PS3, PSP, and PS Vita games on the PlayStation Store. So if you want to get those games, make sure you get them now because they're going to be going away. But some will be on PlayStation now, I guess. But there are ways of getting it, but that's of them being like, okay, you know, it's again, it was like, oh, we're going to try to get more backwards compatibility, but you can't buy all these old games on the PS Store. It's only PS4. That's, you know, it's whatever, But we had an official full video of the PlayStation, seeing what it looks like, its ins and its outs, and its places and its holes, and all kinds of things, whether you want to see it or not. There were some memes related to, you know, there's the argument, right? The stupid console argument, PlayStation fanboys versus Microsoft fanboys and PC fanboys, of being like, oh, but look at PlayStation's external hard drive space. Look at that. Whereas Xbox, you can just put it in. And then PlayStation people would be like, yeah, but that costs $200-something though for that easier convenience, or, you know, and things like that. Again, to confirm what we already knew, it's a decent size. There were, I know you've seen, Kendall, we had the earlier memes of the PlayStation look with the Kaiba and all that. Now we have memes of that guy standing next to the PlayStation. I've seen ones of him with the PlayStation gigantic, just making fun of the size of it. Yes, it's a little big. It's 15 inches wide, 45 millimeters tall. It's big. It's a big, apparently the main reason for it, though, is because it does have this huge-ass fan. They are trying, you know, one of the biggest problems, PlayStation 4, it's a little loud. Even the Pro, sounds like you're trying to start a jet engine or ramping up, like, a motorcycle, and it gets hot. It gets really hot. You got, you know, it's a little big, but they're trying. They're trying to put this fan. They know that a big concern was of how loud it is and how hot it gets. They're trying their best. They're having these little holes and stuff like that that you can clean out for, like, ventilation and things of that sort. So that's, like, one of the big things this video is talking about, how you can do that. Another feature is them talking about how, like, you kind of can take off the sides, basically. You just kind of pull each of the sides off, which makes you think, are they going to do, like, customizable plates now? Is that mean there's going to be less custom PS4s in the future or not? I'm sure people will make stuff on Etsy or something for it. Are you talking about the SSD chip? And he, like, lays everything out there. He shows a new thermal thing, which is, like, the first time this thermal paste is ever being used in something like this, to kind of help make things run and load times and stuff like that. Yeah, so they put, you know, they decide that they could have made it smaller, but they decide to stick with the bigger fan in a way to do it and make it bigger to hopefully quiet down. Again, Kindle, unlike Xbox, PlayStation is still holding cards at their chest. Like, they haven't even really let anybody have a console except for Jeff Keighley. And so we won't know if all this effort of making this extra big will be worth it or not. We can hope so. We won't know until we have it, about a month or so from now, how that's going to feel. Is it going to be quieter? Is it going to be less heat? We'll have to wait and see. But Kendall, did you watch this video? What do you think about the whole size of the PlayStation and why they kind of want to do it this way? Is it big? Is it a little too big for you? Is it?
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's very unexpected, honestly. I think because I was my mind is all about the Xbox Series S. You know, it's, like, small and compact. But I'm gonna tell it to you straight, Wilden. I'm not a PlayStation person. I just don't care. But I understand what everyone's saying. It's pretty big. It's pretty large. I don't know if that's supposed to be, like, a statement. Like, hey, this is a PlayStation. We're here. Or maybe it has to do with the components, obviously. You know what I mean? We never really know what they're thinking. But obviously, the design is what it is. It's sleek, it's nice, it's white, because they want it to fit in your nice modern home. And I guess that was them trying to compensate for the size, which is pretty large.
I mean, the fan is like a fan you have in a PC. I mean, it's a hefty size.
Pretty large.
Yeah. I know. They were talking about, like, it could have made smaller with two cooling fans. But yeah, like, there's, like, side-by-side comparisons and, like, even, like, a photo size comparison, like a family portrait, like, it's just, like, large. Like, this thing's gonna get up there, like, halfway up my TV, you know? But
yeah.
And it did say in the video you can put it either way, you know, that's a thing that they introduced a couple generations ago where you can have one side or the other. I will say this, I like PlayStation. I'm a little biased here, but I will say they both have a stand now, which is a thing, like a circular sort of stand. I think PlayStation is doing the stand thing better in terms of You can unscrew it, and they have an actual place in the stand. You can put the screws so you don't lose it, because they're small screws. And when it lays on its side, the stand's at the bottom. Unlike the Xbox, where if you lay it on the side, the stand's sticking out a little bit like a sore thumb. It's noticeable. But having said that, I think you want... It seems like you want to have your PlayStation standing side up. Whereas in the past, it was always better to have it flat. But I think I'm gonna... Again, like my PS4 is flat. My, you know, PS3 or PS2, you know, you could have had standing up or flat. I've always gone flat. I think this one, I'm gonna have standing up and not flat, Kendall.
Wow. I mean, it does save up space if you have it standing up. So,
and I think just the way it operates, because, like, if you have the fans or whatever and the things going on each side, but you have one laying down with all that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still not sure how it is going to be taken off the side cap, because he was pulling on a little bit, but I'm like, how hard is that plastic? I can see myself breaking that from putting too much effort into it. So the console, you have to take a screw or whatever to insert the little hard drive or whatever. Again, the external hard drive, they haven't really made much of this kind yet, so we don't know how expensive it's going to be. I'm sure I'll definitely upgrade because it's, you know, $850 or whatever, but again, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it's nice to actually see full detail. We'll see if they actually show off the interface or not before it's time for it to come out. Who knows? But at least we're getting some sort of update with the PlayStation. Again, they just dropped this video and announced, they're like, oh, here it is. They're like, okay.
I mean, it's PlayStation. I feel like they're fine to just drop things, unlike Amazon. But also, yes, it is nice to finally get some details like this after so many months of just not knowing anything. It's really nice, for sure.
Yeah. Do you think Sony's gonna let, or like, Xbox gave their stuff out early. Is Sony just gonna be like, nah, everybody's gonna try it on day one. We're not gonna, like, give out early copies or anything.
I think definitely it's just a big enough game to where they could just boom, bam, release it. I mean, they might actually, to like really big partners, big creators, maybe, but I don't think they need to.
I think that's a good point. You know, if PlayStation's selling out, PlayStation has its core audience that's going to get it right away. It doesn't need it, does it, really? It's funny. It is kind of funny, though, how comical how big it is. That makes you wonder what if future ratios are going to be smaller or not, or how that's going to work. But we'll keep updates with PlayStation 5 and all other gaming news. But for now, Kendall, I think it's time to wrap up our podcast there. Kendall, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, at Lady Kendall. That's LadyKendoll. Well, then, where can people find you?
Well, people, I think I didn't even say people correctly. My mind's just, I don't know what I said. But you can find me on Twitch at Wilden1990 and Twitter at Wilden with two L's and an E.
You gotta get them as the same. It's the same.
I want my Twitch to be Wilden, but somebody has it. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Well, that's mine.
Yeah, no, maybe I don't even know what.
I mean, it's, and Instagram's Wilden1990, and I can't get that. But Wilden's too good on Twitter. I don't want to lose that.
What if? Okay, hear me out. What if it was like Wilden1990? So it looks like 1990, but it's not. I don't know.
What, on the Twitch, Twitter, on the Instagram? Somewhere, I don't know.
I don't know. I just want you to have the same user for everything.
I do. It should be Wilden. I've thought about trademarking it, but I was like, I don't know if I can get away with that. Because then I would have to be like, you know, give me some money, Prelo Wires or something, you know. But anyway, but yes. But in the meantime, though, you can catch us on there. Also, all of our podcast episodes, guys, are up on a bunch of audio devices, iHeartRadio, Google. You could, it's all, you know, all over the place. You can also on YouTube find the podcast there as well. As well on YouTube, you can find archived episodes of all of our previous before we rebooted podcast episodes. Most of them are actually on video, so there's some bonus stuff there. In the meantime, guys, tune in when we have more guests. We had Joe on our last podcast, and we'll have more guests down the road. I think that went pretty well. And yeah, expect more news. Expect more different announcements related to the podcast and the brand and stuff as a whole. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, guys, we'll give you our old classic farewell and say bye! Bye!